Five, four, three, two, one. There he is.
Oh, there he is. Speaking of faces.
What's up, buddy? Looking good, Tim. Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'll go sit down so I look like a proper adult in a podcast.
No, you're good, man. Hey, but see, here's the thing, man. You're bringing it just the way we want it. You know, yes, I took a shower after my workout just to get a little more cleaned up to be slightly more professional. Dude, that's raw and in the state, man. Awesome, brother. Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to bust out one of your new recipes on your cooking show, which I love, by the way.
Oh, man. Wait for the next three.
Really?
Yeah. We already got three in the can.
Let any tidbits out?
Yesterday was axis and buffalo that I cooked, like I seared, and then I finished in the smoker. But then I made a smoked Gruyere cheese fondue that we dipped it in.
Bam. Nice. Yeah.
I bet the response to that's been unbelievable though, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody like, you know, sees guys like us and they're like, these guys are savages, and they forget that we're just like dudes, you know, right. Like we like meat, we like cheese, we like women, yep. We like motorcycles, we like whatever.
I mean, it's kind of like Pat with his basic dude stuff, right? It's hey man, come on, man. You know, we're not all a bunch of knuckle draggers. We may have that, you know, perception, but hey.
Well, you know, the cool thing about that too, Tim, is you're cooking with those meats and those leaner choices. You know, a lot of people have complaints about it. You know, it doesn't taste quite as good as the fattier stuff. And I get it, but that's what you're using. And I'm sure it's going to taste a lot better if someone knows how to cook with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why searing it to keep the moisture in and then putting it to finish it off in the smoker keeps it real tender, you know?
Yeah. No, good on you, man. That's a great idea. I thought, man, that's genius. And there's not a lot of things that folks can do right now. They can always cook and, you know, you come up with your cooking show. This is pretty much when we started our podcast too, with the whole COVID thing. Minimize some of the things that we could do. And what a great idea. I hope it's doing well. It looks like it is.
Yeah, I think that first episode had like 260,000 views in 2 days.
Nice. Yeah. So Tim, couple things, man. I want to tell you, congratulations, brother, on your promotion there. And then obviously thank you for your service. How does it work as far as the guard, man? Did you have to leave your team? They put you to a new one. What's kind of their premise over there?
So I got done. I got 10 years of team time pretty much straight. And then I had to go check the block in the staff time. So I did like the first sergeant bullshit and then went to Africa, to Sade, where I've been 4 years. And so that's done. Now I get to go back to a team, which is where I'm at right now. I am waiting to find out what team I'm going to go to. Then I still have to go to MLC.
What's that? ANOC? You got to help me with the new acronyms, man.
Yeah. It is the one app. So now it's SLC, then MLC, and then the Sergeant Major's Academy.
Okay. Yeah. So I knew the old BNOC, ANOC, change stuff mid-stroke. It's like, come on, guys.
Now, is that a promotion is like a natural progression?
Is it necessary?
No, it's not.
No, but I mean, an SF guy, team sergeant, about half the guys finish at E7. And that's the first real bottleneck is E7 to E8, where, you know, most of the guys stop there. Probably 60%. And then I have always, my belief has been that a team sergeant's the best job in the world. And I don't think that an SF guy's career is done until he gets to have that time. Mm-hmm. So it's what I'm doing.
So is the guard in the same way as active? Are you at 2 years and then you're gone, or are you guys any longer? What's kind of your time frame as a team sergeant?
2 years as a team sergeant.
Okay. Yeah, you froze there for a little bit. So you just get 2 years as a team sergeant.
Yeah, and then on this side, it's from team sergeant on, it's pretty much a sure thing, the Sergeant Major's Academy. I will, of course, try to stay on a team as long as they let me.
Oh, the old hiding behind the rucksack. I see how it is, man.
Yes, I would do anything to stay on a team longer.
Yeah. That's the biggest crock, man, because, you know, back in the 90s, man, you'd have team sergeants on there years on end. You're trying to get people promoted through and push them through. But hey, man, if a guy's good there, you know, we don't have this concept of, hey, man, if a guy wants to stay as a team sergeant, let him run as a team sergeant. You know, I got the natural progression and stuff like that. But that's your experience, man. And this whole 2 year thing, hey, you're in, you're kind of getting your feet wet. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back out the door. It's like, come on, guys.
The guys that volunteer for the guys that want to get promoted, and they're usually the ones that shouldn't get promoted, right? The guys that want to stay on the teams longer, that will do anything. Like the first time that I got 10, I mean, you know, made E8 2-3 years ago, like I'm right on track as like where you should be star major and command star major. And they were never great operators. They were never great leaders. They were just good at getting promoted. And I think that forcing the good guys to have to take, I mean, like, I didn't, you know, they're 11. You have a MOS change from 18 Bravo to 18 Zulu. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You also can ETS in February. There's your options.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. You've got no kind of say so as far as, you know, team location, stuff like that. They're just going to arbitrarily go, because like, where were you normally going, or where were you normally, what base were you going to kind of do all your drills?
So we have two companies here in San Antonio, and both the SARB majors. So that, like, the colonel on the ADCON side is here in Austin, Texas at Camp Mabry. And that is my current boss. So Command Sergeant Major Pusar and Colonel Krupp are my bosses on the SADA, SOC Africa side. And then you have the SARB major of the companies and the majors of the companies. And they're the ones that are doing kind of career management about who's coming to the teams. That's exactly where I am right now. I think I'm going to have to do a year, the National Guard. We do, for the National Guard version, the 18 X-ray, a kid comes in with a contract, comes back from basic training. He still has to drill, and he still has to, you know, do his 2 weeks, and all of that stuff occurs in between every single phase of the Q course. So if he has that contract, he still has to come back to the unit and drill, but he's obviously not going to be drilling with the companies because he hasn't even been to selection yet. I think I'm going to end up, if I'm reading the tea leaves, one of the screwy crappy things about being Tim Kennedy is, like, I don't get preferential treatment. If anything, I always have to do extra bullshit. And this is going to be that extra moment where I'm going to go spend a year in assessment and selection preparation.
But I mean, here's the thing though, Tim, right? The NQP program, I mean, you can shape these kids. You know, you can get them going the way you want and hopefully make them successful going out there.
That's very altruistic of you. I just want fucking 12 door kicker.
Brother, I'm with you, okay? But I'm going to kind of put it in my perspective, right? So when I got shafted and had to go out to McCall, dude, I did not embrace that one iota. It was a total just hate your day every single day because I don't want to be there. You know, don't give me this bullshit. You're hiding behind the rucksack and then stick me out to freaking Camp McCall to have Groundhog Day every fucking 30 days. Yeah. And I'm just kind of giving you, you know, for me to you, it's a little bit different deal, man. Try to look at the pro and go, how can I shape these kids? Look at it as just kind of your build up. Hey man, boom. Shape these kids, work on that. And then when you get your team, don't look back and run with the boys, you know? So, hey, let me ask you this, man. Death of Eddie Van Halen. Anything, was Van Halen significant to you?
I have a workout shed here on our land here. You know, obviously being an athlete my whole entire life, starting really, really young, with a dad that was kind of a, you know, he was a narcotics officer. He was an athlete. You know, we're working on hot rods and drag cars. There was a lot of Van Halen being played all the time since I was a kid in lots of different ways. You know, so like right now, if you're going to walk out, I just got done working out, obviously. And, you know, that was absolutely on my playlist, like 50% of the songs. You know, I was like, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to do another pull-up.
Are you a David Lee Roth fan or Hagar?
Yeah, it didn't matter. There, a bunch of musicians in the family, and I kind of love and appreciate both. Like, just play good music, especially nowadays when music sucks so bad.
Yeah.
I just want good music again.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. I mean, there was definitely two different bands going on there with Diamond Dave and Sammy Hagar. You know, Sammy Hagar had a lot of, you know, songwriting talent. His songs were out a little bit more refined. And then you're Dave Lee Roth. You can put a beat to Jamie's Crying or something totally, you know, some drunken stupor song. And it's just badass, you know, two different types. I'm with you.
I mean, you remember when Eddie Van Halen would turn around from the crowd and when he was playing the guitar, because he didn't want people to see, like he was in, like on stage, inventing new ways to play music.
Yep.
You know, where he'd like tap or bang one of the strings, and it would give like this vibration and a different sounding note than anybody had ever played before.
Yeah, very.
Eventually, the cat's out of the bag, but
yeah, once it got out, man, it really.
Once you get modern technology, enough filming stuff like that, you know, all of a sudden it's like that's how he did it. Because, like me and Mark were talking earlier, I had no idea. It's like, how is this guy playing so fast? I said, there is no, how is he making these sounds with a pick that everyone else is using? And it's like, this is absolutely amazing. And then slowly as you start seeing, like you said, hey, the finger tap, doing these different things with the guitar. And again, oh, let me turn my back so you can't see what I'm doing. Uh-huh. I mean, let me stick, you know, more pickups on my guitar and do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. And I don't know that we'll ever see somebody play a guitar like that anytime soon, man. I mean, just that total innovative state that he had.
So you got the cooking show going on, Tim. I know you got a lot of irons in the fire. Anything new coming around? I know you got the, you know, your sheepdog and you got your promotion and stuff. You're probably pretty busy for you right now that things are opening back up. Anything new coming?
Yeah. This is my board right now. Those are my companies on the left, my partners on the right.
Yeah.
Task org of employees in the middle there. We're launching a private school here in Austin, Texas, for middle school and elementary school kids. You know, you're talking about getting those kids young. So yeah, I understand about getting them young and shaping patriots early. So we're, you know, 16,000 square foot school that will be open next September. Working through getting all of our T's crossed and I's dotted for that. Sheepdog Response is, you know, in a time of civil unrest and a pandemic, a lot of people, you know, the largest group of first time gun buyers in American history happened in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
And, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're listening, welcome to this side of freedom. And, one of the cool things is a lot of them understood that it's a responsibility. And with that comes like, I need to get trained. I need to understand how to clean my gun. How do I store it? So all of these first time gun buyers have a lot of questions, and thank God Sheepdog Response is kind of accessible and not being censored. So we have been overwhelmed with work of late. And like, we can't hire guys fast enough and we can't add enough courses. So it's pretty awesome.
You know, Tim, I'm starting to see, at least from my end, you know, the ammo situation is causing some dramas. You know, you're seeing, you know, you're getting the email, hey man, I'd love to get the class, but where can I get ammo? I've pretty much shut down all the rifle stuff, because pretty much at a buck a trigger pull, people are like, man, I can't afford it, or I don't want to shoot the stock I got, or I can't get resupplied or whatever. Are you seeing any of that on your end? No, not for you personally. I'm saying from your students. Could I sit there and supply my students? Sure. Here, take my stock. Now I'm out.
Like, that is unfortunate, isn't it? Hey, take a look.
Yeah.
But I was just saying,
you should be prepared for times like this.
Roger that.
I'm with you, buddy.
Oh man.
So we have been really, we've cut our round counts by half for every single course.
Yep.
We have included a whole bunch more dry firing drills. And so what was like a, you know, 600 round a day type class, it's now like a 200 to 300. I mean, really 200 at the most. So a lot of dummy drills, a lot of malfunction drills, a lot of, you know, immediate emergency action, emergency reloads and immediate action drills, remedial action, non-standard shooting positions. We just added a single person room clearing, which we call singleton security. And it's like, if you are in bed at night and you hear the window get smashed or the alarm go off and or your kids scream, like how do you move from where you are to where you need to go safely? Mm-hmm. That's way, you know, it's obviously different than a four man assault team moving through a house, clearing rooms, limited penetration. Well, we removed all live fire out of that course.
Yep.
Like not because I don't think it's important that somebody learns how to pie and then ultimately take a shot, how to clear a corner, shoot center, move. I'd rather you get more reps flowing mm-hmm. through a room. And I think the training value, it actually was a really great opportunity to take a step back and ask myself, okay, am I having these people shoot these drills because it's going to help them be better shooters? Or was I having them shoot those drills just because like it's expected that they shoot it? Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody wants to, okay, I'm taking a CQB course. Of course, I'm going to step into a room and shoot. Like that's the expectation. But as you know, like that doesn't necessarily make you better at CQB.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really about getting the reps every mm-hmm. single, like in the corner fed and center fed rooms.
Yeah. It's just working all the mechanics.
Uh-huh.
So are you using airsoft certs or sims, anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. The, for the clearing stuff, man, I've had guys and gals go completely black. I mean, like mm-hmm. frozen. I can't take another step. While they're just clearing a room with no bad guys, no force on force, no mm-hmm. sims, no live ammo. They get here, they see, all right, they know their priorities are work, right? Like they come in, they have to clear dead space. They have open doors, closed doors, and they're like a hallway, a T intersection, a staircase. And they're like, I don't know what to do. I'm now just going to hyperventilate.
Yeah.
And that's the majority of students. The first maybe 30 reps. Mm-hmm. Like these are not. I never realized how much I took for granted. You know, I like cephalics and sephardics, where like we really have the top not 1%. We have like the top 0.01% of men on the planet that have volunteered to do this, and like guys still get blue barreled, right? Like guys yeah. still fail out of that course.
Yeah.
But now I'm taking a 45-year-old man that has 20% body fat. And he's CQBing for the first time physiologically, like what's neurologically, like what is that doing to that person? And complete overload. So we have CERTA, we have SIMS, but we haven't, the first course that we ran, we got through half of our planned POI,
mm-hmm.
half. And then, and then we're like, okay, so we're just going to go ahead and readjust our expectation about where we're going to have our students at the end of a 1-day CQB course.
Yeah.
Now that overload that you're seeing from these guys, or that they're experiencing, does the majority of those experience for them turn out positive? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to go one or two ways, right? Like
right.
you're either going to step out of that room and be like, forget this, I quit. Or it's a wake up call being like, okay, I need to shoot more. I need to train more. I need to drill mm-hmm. more. I need to flow more. I need more reps. I need to be in better shape. I need to, like all of the things that I need to have done, clearly I wasn't doing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think of the 40 guys that we had in that last class, all 40 of them took that away as that's where they're going, where they're going to be spending a lot more of their time. So
Tim, I got to ask you, have you ever seen anybody come into the room? Because typically, like the way I'll do it, I won't put any targets in there to start because we're just trying to work mechanics. And then we finally put targets in there. Have you ever seen anybody come in, see a paper target, and then jump back and like surprise, like, oh my God. I was like, wow, really?
We had this tiny little short room. We're at Revelry Peak Ranch, great, beautiful facility. And it was a short room. I mean, maybe 10 feet deep. And it's a corner fed room. And we put a target right inside on the left-hand side, and guys would be pieing, but it's long enough where you can't see the edge of the target, even mm-hmm. if you pie all the way to the wall. So with a corner-fed room, they have to turn left to clear that corner. That's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could be more spot on. Probably 1 out of 5, they'd come around and be like, oh shit, you know, or like, oh man, there's a target, you know, like, I'm like, well, shoot it, you know, like, do something.
Yell at it. Do something.
I mean, we sit here and chuckle, right? Oh, but man. Here's the thing, man, at the end of the day, that part alone, God forbid they've got to sit there and actually try to clear their house. But hopefully now you've taken, you know, at least the two-dimensional into a three, and they're not doing that jumping back, hooping and hollering, doing whatever, take some action and, oh man, deal with that threat. But God, every time I see that, man, I'm like, come on, man. What?
It's so cool. Paper. I love it though.
So so you've got Sheepdog. I just want to get kind of in the entrepreneurial stuff a little bit. So you've got Sheepdog. Yep. What other irons you got going on?
So New School, a new initiative, which will be a private academy here. Apogee, it will be Apogee Method, Apogee Strong. Apogee is like the summit to successfully accomplish the pinnacle of a moment. And so, you know, big American flag in front of the school every day, hand over the heart, you know, pledge allegiance type school. That's how we're going to run it. And then I have Ranger Up, military apparel, lifestyle brand. Okay. I have Whoopee Shoes, which is myself and Anthony, another Green Beret from 7th Group. Mm-hmm. We start a shoe company that is built around kind of what we do for a living. They're kind of like Converse, Ultimas, flat body. Actually, the bottom, the soles, the non-slip soles are contour lines from a topographic map.
Nice. Pretty cool.
It's all canvas, drain holes. So the back of the shoes, you can actually take your scuba fins and lock them in there. It's pretty sick. And they're high enough so that you can do free fall and static line with them on the 762 link. So, you know, all the things that we need in a shoe are kind of in there. Then I have a marketing firm, and I have a government contract and security consulting firm, and and I'm in the middle of writing a book.
Nice. Good. So how did all this stuff get started, Tim?
So when I was in group, and I was kind of fighting on the side, trying not to get caught by the sergeant major, you know, they saw the shaved head, muscle bound guy from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that is an Army Ranger. And sergeant majors were like, I bet that's one of our guys. And lo and behold, they're right, right? So, you know, they bring me into the group sergeant major and used to stop sergeant major. And they're like, hey, man, what are we going to do with you? I was like, just leave me be. Like, y'all didn't know I've been doing this for the past couple of years. You know, like I take leave every time I go and fight. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares. Like, it's not somebody's going to like, use facial recognition in 2006 and see, you know, a UFC Strikeforce IFL fighter, WC fighter, that's also, you know, in the CRIF. Like, nobody cares and nobody knows. Like, just leave me alone. Like, mm-hmm. can that be the option? Like, that's not an option. So I kept fighting and, you know, got shuffled around, ultimately ended in the National Guard, you know, after 8 years on the team, and was able to stay within Special Forces on a team for a couple more years. And while I was fighting, most prize fighters, I'll use Mike Tyson as an example. When he was making tens of millions of dollars a year, he didn't have a cent to his name. Like it came in one pocket and out the other. Like mm-hmm. he's buying tigers, you know, and he's right. beating and raping some lady and, he's like supplying coke at a party to kill Pablo Escobar's entire employee roster. Like that's one route. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the George Foreman route where I'm going to take my money and I'm going to make a grill, you know, or I'm going to start backing a bunch of franchises of gyms named after me. You know, I had a military salary that I was happily living on, you know, as an E7, like you can live just fine as an E7. Mm-hmm. And so I'm making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year fighting. And when I sit that into like a 401, I just wanted to do something with it. So what I started doing was I'd find somebody that had a vision that aligned with what I wanted to do. And I would invest that money in that person. that person and that dream was, you know, oftentimes a company, and that company, 6 out of the 9 that I did that with turned to be profitably big companies. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened. I would take my fight money and I would put it into somebody that I thought had a great idea and a great vision. And then now I have companies.
Nice. Mainly veterans or just anybody, or what was kind of, how was that connection made?
All veterans. Veterans are tricky. You know, you have some that realize that they were given a beautiful gift. They learned that they have to be at the right place at the right time with the right equipment to do the right job, right? Mm-hmm. They understand that you don't always get to pick the who, the what, the where, the when, the why of why you're doing something. Sometimes you just got to be prepared for it. And then there's some people, some veterans, that get so complacent and comfortable because everything's provided to them that they get this degree of entitlement, right? Like, where's my next food coming from? Where's my next meal? Where am I staying? How do I turn this barracks into, you know, the Taj Mahal of barracks where I'm going to take all 8 of, like, especially SF guys. SF guys are no better. You know, they're like, okay, this is going to be my barracks. Well, I'm going to take these 8 bunk beds. I'm going to push them out. And that one's going to be my desk. And this one's going to hold my TV. And that one's going to hold my air conditioner, you know, and to a normal soldier, they're like, no, those 8 bunk beds is actually 16 dudes go in this room, not one. Mm-hmm. So that you have 2 very vastly different people that are going through the same experience, but their takeaways are different. One of them is like, and like now with millennials, getting somebody to show up on time and to mm-hmm. just do work, like that's asking, it seems like I'm asking the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not to some veterans. Some veterans get it, right? Like, they're going to be there 10 minutes early. They're going to have everything they need to do their job, and they're freaking motivated.
Yeah.
And that's, I'd find those guys and I'd throw opportunity at them.
I find myself saying that all the time, that the hardest job I have is to get the folks that work for me or under me to do what they're supposed to do every day. Yeah. Someone who's motivated and comes out and does some extraordinary work for me on their own, that happens probably more than the people doing what they're supposed to do every day, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So where
did you, you know, we got to lead and inspire. It's a hard thing.
So where did you kind of get the old business savvy sense? I mean, I know the military gives us some, but it's like working all the backside stuff of business that, you know, people don't understand, you know, the marketing, you know, the finances, how to sit there and go, what am I holding my cash reserve? What am I using? What's my inventory? You know, how many SKUs am I running?
Man, that, run a Firebase. Like, I have to have food. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to have water. I know what my budget is. I know what the market value of the things that I'm going to try and buy are. And I know that all the local people know that I have this American money and a budget, and they're going to try to take advantage of me at every single thing that I do. You know, I have X amount of valuable resources that I have to leverage to be able to get what I need done. So like, if you take MetTC and Akoka and Grin and you apply it to a business world, mm-hmm. no, I can't use those things when I'm talking to a fellow business person, you know, but like, that's how I'm working things in my mind. And, that another hard thing for veterans is getting out. Like, they'll just say, well, you know, here's my 5 W's. And somebody's like, what's a 5 W? Like, oh yeah, it's the who, the what, the where, the when, the why. They're like, well, how is that relevant? Like, well, it's all the things I need to know to be able to do this thing. And like, just having so much difficulty just communicating like a civilian. But I still frame everything in my mind like my task board right here. That is 100% a task condition standard board.
Yep.
Right. And I have organized task condition standard for every single one of these guys that they have to do. Do I go and tell my videographer that graduated from the University of Texas, Austin, in video, here's your task condition and standard? No, that kid his brain would explode.
Yep.
But I will be like, all right, man, here's what we got to do. This is the stuff that we have to do it with. Here's our constraints. What do you need from me to be able to execute this at the highest level? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh man.
Yeah. And Tim, I'm glad you said that, man, because you hit the nail on the head, because the problem is there's a lot of veterans out there that are afraid to get in the entrepreneurial world. Number one, you know, Uncle Sugar does not do a good job in the whole transition program of setting people up in the business world. You know, the boost to business class, my opinion, absolute joke. Don't tell me to go to SBA and get a loan. Really? I can figure that one out. know, what's the strategies on marketing, how to work IG? Cause I didn't have any social, you know, I had to go to my kids to, you know, when my industry partners are hitting me up going, hey man, we don't see you on social. I'm working on it. You know, tell my kids, how do I work Facebook? How do I work IG? You know, those are the things they need to start figuring out. You know, at what point does, you know, SF Command go, hey man, you guys can start getting on social. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, start getting that word out there, you know, or how are you going to frame your business or whatever that case may be. But like you said, it's that still that military mindset. It's still applying the same fundamentals, but I just wish that, you know, during that transitional process, they would put it in that aspect. Here's some business terms you need to know. Okay. So this means this. And people start going, okay. So if you are going into a business meeting, you know, you're trying to work with another company, don't say, hey, here's the five W's. Man, I worked for the man for 29 years. I want to be the man. And now it's just, you know, turn it around. So trying to, I don't know if you want to say empower, educate, whatever word you want to use, these guys getting out. Hey man, it's easily doable. You just need a little education on verbiage and the rest will all flow, you know, kind of go from there.
But it's not going to be easy.
Nope.
You know, you've been in the military for, let's say you've been there for 20 years. You know, you can go to the chow hall anytime and, and pay your, you know, $220 to get your meal. They're literally going to issue you every single piece of equipment that you need to do your job. None of that happens out here.
No.
Right? Like everything you're going to do yourself, but you have all the tools to be able to do it.
Totally.
And you just have to have that belief and the work ethic to execute.
Yeah. And that was like, you know, a prime example, like in my case, I ended up getting a home gym or started getting home gym stuff here prior to the pandemic because I was wasting time going to the gym. I'm like, I don't have enough hours in the day, especially as a startup, whether it's emails, phone calls, trying to work all this stuff, figure stuff out, read stuff to go, hey, where's things going? And you sit there and go, hey man, how can I save time? Boom. Here's an hour a day that I can save by not driving back and forth to the gym. Boom. It's right there in the garage. Knock that thing out, you know, and then keep rolling. So it's just, it's stupid stuff like that. Because like you said, you've got everything provided. Where's the gym? Where's the dock? You know, where's the chow hall? And now a guy takes that step out and you're trying to figure all that stuff out, especially if they're moving back to a new place or somewhere new. It's almost like all over again. It's like, just give them some success, you know, started. And, you know, you bring up a great point as far as your, you get your government contract stuff. And if guys are wanting a government contract, nobody's smart enough to tell guys, hey man, if you want to be a service disabled veteran owned small business, you've got to be in business for 3 years. So if you're looking for that, you're already behind the power curve, hitting that ETS mark going, hey, what's this, you know, small business services able, how do I get that? Well, wait 3 years, you know, so we're automatically kind of screwing guys in that aspect. So
yeah, I'm going to tip my hat to the National Guard, and it's painful to say sometimes when they do something right. You know, I'm at 16 years right now, and they're already like forcing briefings for retirement. And that was one of the points right there that you just made, was like, if you are planning to go into contracting within the military for the military or government services, you're going to have to set up your corporation this year to be able to be eligible for those contracts at your 20 year mark when you retire. I was like, good on you guys for, you know, like being high five. National Guard, you actually going to do something right this time.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Tim. I think SF Command as a whole, they're starting to see it, right? So you're starting to see the trickle of leadership that's in there. You know, guys are communicating, hey, man, I wasn't set up for success getting out. The word's getting back. And I think now the command's starting to figure it out. Hey, we got to start putting the bug in guys' ears early. Yeah. I got, if you want to work for the man, cool. You know, that's easy. Here's how to write a resume, go apply, do whatever, fine. Man, but if you want to be an entrepreneur, which I think everyone should, man, if you don't have some things lined up beforehand, you're like, you step out the gate in the hole and now you're just digging, you know, you're trying to dig out of that hole because you're waiting on time or whatever the case may be to hit those marks. So good on the guard for that, man. You know, I don't know. I haven't talked to the active guys as far as transitioning, anything like that, as far as the briefs go. I mean, I always tell people, hey, you know, that's a thing to consider. Same thing like with the state of North Carolina. the state of North Carolina has a scholarship for children of wartime veterans. I never once heard that in any of my briefs. So I've got the potential, you know, my kids can go to school for free in North Carolina because they were born here. I retired here, but nowhere in any of my briefs did anyone tell me. That's a major financial deal that people might sit there and go, maybe I hang out in North Carolina because, you know, I didn't prep, save, whatever the case may be, for my kids to go to school. So it's just silly things like that, that there's so many tidbits of information out there that guys just aren't getting. And like I said, man, the Guard, a lot of people sit there and kind of bat their eyes at the Guard. But the cool thing with the Guard is you've got such a variety, and it seems like the Guard almost does a little bit better job on things, you know, kind of getting information out. You've got so many different people from so many different backgrounds that you can draw from, that really, like, when you look at a Guard team, the skills that a Guard team has compared to an active, you know, I mean,
crazy.
And it's that real world. I got it. You know, if you're looking at kind of some of your military skill sets, are they always spot on as they're active guys? Nope. But when you look at it from a whole, man, you got guys from all walks of life. I never had a welder, you know, for example, on one of my ODAs. We had a guard team. You know, it's just silly stuff like that.
My buddy just that kind of grew up with just took a team, and he has a couple of cops on his team that are, one's a SWAT guy and one's a NARC, and they have done more wiretapping and SIGINT stuff between the two of them than any 18 Fox. Any like super spook ASOC guy that he thinks he's, you know, fly. Like, all they do all day long is buy dope and place tracker on vehicles, you know? And then his two medics, one of them is a flight medic for the air rescue, and the other one is a firefighter paramedic. Like, all they do all day long is deal with, like, especially the flight medic, like horrific injuries.
Yep. And all trauma.
Yeah. And then, like, to your, the 18 Charlie is literally a contractor. Like, his, he runs, he owns his own company, and he has like 80 something subcontractors that work for him. Most of them are 1099s. But he's like building part of the fate, the new Apple building here in Austin. Like, and like that's his team. He's got like, the dream comes true in every single specialty of the MOS on his team, and doing more. I mean, especially that SWAT guy has done more door kicking than you, me, and everyone that we know in the past 2 years. All he does all day long is felony parole and probation violations on violent felons.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Freaking awesome.
I know. It's amazing.
Rick touched on the social media a little bit. Now, you've got a fantastic following. Have you experienced any issues with the banning or limiting or using? I'm sure you have, because, with that.
Yeah, man, I get shadow banned hard.
Do you?
I'm like, it's so crazy because, I mean, I gain, when I'm not shadow banned, 1,500 new followers a day. Every day, all day long. I went to bed last night at 862,000. I woke up at 864,000.
Wow.
I'm not being shadow banned. Cool, that's good news. But then I'll post something. Heaven forbid it's about Corona, or it's about the Second Amendment, or it's about liberty. And I'm like, I'm a libertarian, so like, I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. So I'm not like this, like, you know, go Republican Party guy. Like, that is not where I am. So I'm pretty like independent down the road. But man, I'll say something. For example, for 3 months, I didn't gain a single follower. And I was like, how is that mathematically possible where, you know, if I gained 1,000 new followers, that I lost 1,000 followers in a day? So when I went in, I started this Hootsuite, and I put all of my social media in there. And they're pretty good about Hootsuite is a social media manager that gives you the insights and analytics. And you can track. So like Instagram, for example, if you go into insights, they only give you 7 days of information now. They've taken away the ability so that you can track when you're shadow banned. Well, Hootsuite tracks everything and it logs everything. So it's a great tool to use. But I would go back and I'd look, they would unsubscribe my bottom 1% of followers. People would send me a message and be like, hey man, I hadn't seen your stuff in a while, and I realized that I wasn't following you. I never unfollowed you. And so I'd go back and I'd start looking at individual people. They were just people that never commented or never liked. So they were like my bottom 1% of people that weren't interacting with my page. Mm-hmm. Instagram would unfollow them from my page. And then if you like typed in Tim Kennedy MMA or Tim Kennedy or Tim Kennedy, any variation, mm-hmm. you would get 40 accounts yes. before mine.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day.
Fake account, fraud account, a fan account, a meme page, one of like two troll pages. I'm pretty sure there are SF guys that have dedicated their lives to making fun of me, which is fine and yeah, hilarious. That's good. And then 40 pages down, there's a verified account with nearly 1 million followers. But you got to go page after page to find the bottom.
Yeah.
Insanity. So, yeah.
Yeah. The Drinking Bros podcast was talking about this as well. If you've ever looked at their video podcast portion. So they have, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they had the golfer on there and they had the congressman from Florida. They had Kid Rock, who hadn't given an interview in a couple of years, right? Should have been the biggest month that they had in their entire history of their company. All kinds of downloads on the audio side of the house, 20,000 views or something crazy like that. So they have millions of downloads audio and, you know, everything's linked together, but only 20,000 subscribers too on their channel, which like you said, it's mathematically impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah. They're just shooting themselves in the foot. Okay. Like, you know, one of the big bummers, let's say the roles were reversed, right? Let's say it was, far left kind of progressive voices, like an Antifa anarchist. If they were being censored, if they were being shadow banned, I would be infuriated.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because it doesn't matter, right? I actually want dumb people to say dumb things, and I want everybody else to be able to see them say dumb things. Right. Because then, but if an idea is just protected and put into a vacuum where the things that you say are is just in this echo chamber, and then actually might seem relevant. But if a stupid person has to stand up in front of everybody and be like, all right, here's my brilliant idea for the economy. And you're like, that's impossible, bro. That doesn't work. Everybody knows. Mm-hmm. That's actually been tried 242 times in history. And everyone knows that it leads to genocide and starvation. So let's not do that. But instead, we're just going to start censoring and silencing these things so these ideas can just live in this echo chamber. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, obviously debate is being pulled out of the norm. I'm offended of those words, so therefore I don't have to talk about it. That's the norm.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's a shame because, you know, on top of the stuff that they may not like about the following you have, you know, whatever the reason, there's a lot of other things. You advocate for a lot of things out there. You know, there's a lot of cops and a lot of military guys that are struggling out there committing suicide. And you had several months in a row there, we had a lot of stuff going out there. Rick and I have both been affected by it with friends. From the uniformed services. And that risk alone to me is incredible that someone may not see something that could potentially change your life for the better because they don't like what you said about the Second Amendment.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Unbelievable.
They're going to figure it out either the hard way or the really hard way.
Tim, did you happen to see my post the other day where I got that sheet that kind of had, how to, you know, what, Instagram's looking at as far as like things to do. So like a like only gets you so far. If you're going to comment 4 words, a save is like, they think the most powerful tool. Have you seen that stuff before?
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I would be curious just, you know, I don't know if you got any insight to those things, how either good that is not.
Yeah. So every single social media outlet for their distribution, they have their own algorithm about what is going to make something appear more frequently in news feeds and in searches. And they're very similar. Like if you did a Venn diagram and you're like, all right, comments, likes, and reshares obviously are important to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But there's also like keywords and tags that are more important, let's say for Instagram. So somebody goes in and they like your thing, they comment on your thing, but they also tag one of their friends. If they do those 3 things, then that helps escalate and accelerate the viewability of that individual post. Mm-hmm. And then you as a creator, you have to do a whole bunch of things consistently to appear higher on their algorithm. Like you have to do reels, you have to do stories, you have to do posts, you have to do IGTV. And if you don't do one of those things, then you're like, you're going to be penalized because you're not playing by their rules. But while you do those things, you also have to make sure that you have to stay away from the topics that they don't want you to talk about. Right, so you literally have to play by their rules, talk about the things that they want you to talk about in all of the different ways that they want you to talk about them. Then they'll make sure that you are a successful page.
Yeah.
Sounds like a relationship.
Yeah.
Sounds like some sounds like some censorship there. You know, it's like,
and to think that we threw tea in the harbor over like a 0.0 something tax raise.
Yeah.
Yes. Unbelievable.
But it's like nobody bats an eye, you know, nobody bats an eye at it, man. You know, it's just like crazy. You said something, Tim, you kind of broke up a little bit.
Both sides have to be mad about it.
Right.
You know, like, it's mostly conservatives that are being censored. It's mostly conservatives that are being silenced. And like I said, if it was the other side, I would be irate. But right now, I don't know why, but the left is like, well, good. Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, that's hateful, or that's bigotry, or like whatever it is that they don't agree with. It's like, good. It's better that that person is silent. That's never good, and there is no moral high ground to silencing an opposing idea.
Yeah,
that is idiotic. Yeah.
But I think, you know, people forget too that, you know, you look at all these social platforms, right? They are basically advertising agencies. You want to get your stuff out there. If it fits within their realm, you know, pay them money, boost your post, do whatever. Because to me, it's the censorship where you say, if I'm going to censor Tim, but I'm not going to censor this guy.
Go ahead. My buddy Mike Glover just got. He had the American contingency.
Yep.
There's it. The whole page got pulled down. Mike is an amazing. I went to sniper school with Mike, and I have nothing but the best things to say about him as a person and him as an operator. I actually use him and a few other guys as like litmus tests. Where, you know, I think when people start getting famous or they have like a big social following, there's just from the veteran community. There's I don't know if it's jealousy, I don't know what the motivation is, but they're very mean spirited sometimes, and they're that way about Mike. And I'll hear them say, you know, like, well, that guy did this. I was like, did you ever work with him? Like, do you know him? Or are you just saying that because like he's doing really well and he has a great thing going? You should really support him because he's a great guy. So his American contingency page got pulled down, and even more frightening, I tried to click Recoil Magazine. Posted an article about Twitter deleting it and Instagram deleting it and Facebook deleting it. And I clicked on the link to go and see it. Safari popped up saying, this website is not trusted. We do not recommend that you go here to Recoil, to Recoil Magazine.
Wow.
So you had to go down and it says, okay, close page, which is like the big bold letters with the underline, which is what it's telling you to do. Or you like read the fine print and it says, if you're an idiot and you still want to go to the super dangerous page that might steal all of your information or that is impersonating another website, then you can click on here and go to that webpage. And I was like, it's a magazine. Yeah. It's a magazine. Mm-hmm. It's a magazine that's been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, that's like, you know, look at Pat Mack, right? Pretty much just puts, you know, workout, you know, on there, a couple shooting things here and there, and they freaking deleted his stuff. Yeah. It's like,
I don't even know what that blew my mind. Cause he's the best. Yeah. He's a gem. He's a national treasure.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's like, you know, watching and pushing, you know, trucks on a gravel lot and slammed him,
you know, and it's, like
half a million followers gone that.
Gone.
Yeah. And it's like, for what? And then somehow simultaneously, you know, his Facebook got hacked and then some idiots got control of that thing. And it's like, come on, man. So you've got these entities that want to have all this control, yet you let people hack, you know, you let these bots do all their stupid things or whatever's going on. And now you try to reach out and there's no one to reach out to. Can't call anybody, you know, good luck emailing somebody. Oh, 100%. You know, but it's such a flawed deal, but it's also a necessary evil that's today's marketing. That's how you get the word out. You know, that's how you go, hey, here's what Sheepdog's got on the plate, you know, whatever. Yes, you try to drive them to your website because ultimately that's where you want them to go. But unfortunately,
until Safari like I until what Safari's like, okay, sheepdog response, this is an untrusted website. Are you mm-hmm. sure you want to go here?
Yeah.
I mean, that would, that would probably, you know, if I have 8%.
That's big. That,
yeah. But that's literally what they're doing to websites that they don't like.
That's amazing. That is huge. I mean, it would scare somebody. It would scare somebody thinking, oh my gosh, if I push this on, you know, I'm doing something wrong or it's going to mess up my device, whatever. That's what it sounds like they're trying to say.
Yeah. I'll send you a screen capture I never in my mind,
that's like, crazy.
Could I Google something and then click on Recoil magazine and have Safari tell me that I'm not supposed to go here?
Right.
Wow.
2020, everybody.
Yeah, man. You know, because it starts there, and then where's it end?
It ends with book burning and concentration camps. We know where it ends.
Yeah, we know.
Exactly. Mao did it. Hitler did it. Like, we could go back to Genghis Khan. We know where it ends.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, Tim, you're hitting the key points, and this is what most Americans forget, man. They're not scholars of history. And if people would just take a step back and go, look at what's being put in place, things that have happened in the past that did not turn out very well, but people are letting it happen. Although I will say this, has Texas started their early voting yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you happen to drive by a polling station by any chance today in your travels?
Crazy.
Amazing, man. Crazy. You know,
looked like it went for a mile.
Yeah.
Really?
You know?
Early voting.
Dude, we hit a couple because we were going to go early vote. We drove to a couple polling places. And like you said, man, sea of bodies, cars everywhere. And you're like, hey, we'll just come back. You know, we'll check it out later on. So I got some more important things to do right now, you know, than just hang out in line. But
is it going to go all the way to election day, early voting, or is it only going to be this week?
No. Well, I think each state's different. North Carolina's got a window. So, and I think they run it for that certain window, basically shut it down. And then obviously election day opens back up.
That's a good point. It's a window. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah. It's a window. I think it's a couple window or a couple week window that you can vote.
Yeah.
They shut down and God knows what they do with all their magical information.
I want to swipe up real fast and like Google and see what my window is so I can go get this done. I got drill this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we start running courses again next week. So like, I got to get this done.
Yeah. Well, we're huge fans of you, brother. And man, you've got a great following, a lot of entertainment in there as well. I loved, was it Range 15?
Yeah.
Oh man. You guys were great on that. I'm big fans of the Drinking Bros too, with, you know, Ross and those guys, but your character was unbelievable. So we really appreciate you coming on here, man.
Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for reaching out. You know, anything I can ever do to help support anybody in the regiment. I think people are weird to ask sometimes. Like, I bleed red, white, and blue, and I'll do anything for anybody. Like, with whatever bandwidth I have available, I'll pour my soul into it.
But Tim, you hit the key point, right? You said earlier, you've got guys out there that backstab. And if you've been backstabbed before, then you get kind of gun shy. You're like, all right, who's trusted agents, who's not? But like you said, man, it's all about coming together. And I'm telling you, man, the SF veteran community could crush the world. I mean,
effortlessly.
Like, exactly. But there has to be a unite. You've got to get the dollar signs out of your eyes. And whether, you know, I call Tim, Tim calls me, Pat calls me, it doesn't matter who calls me. Somebody calls me and says, hey, man, I need a hand. All right. Do you need a hand? Do you need a shovel? What do you need? Flashlight?
Yeah.
100%,
I'm there.
And that's it. But once that happens, you know, it's super easy. Let everyone know what's all your different, I mean, I know we got, you know, your stuff on the IG, but website, you know, just anything you want to put out info wise where people can get in contact with you, check out classes, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Where do we find those shoes at? Those sound awesome.
Yeah. Whoobyshoes.com is the shoes. Sheepdogresponse.com is the defensive tactics training company. But if you just on Instagram, if you Google, or if you search Ranger Up or Tim Kennedy MMA is me on everything. Instagram, I have a new YouTube page that I'm just now starting to put some effort into. I'm posting a video today and tomorrow. Yeah, if you're in Austin, Texas, make sure and you want your kids to be free, check out our school next September.
That's awesome. Buddy. Are you getting any state dollars for that?
I don't want any.
Okay. Like it. I like it.
Hands off. We had a ton of conversation about not-for-profit, non-profit, for-profits. We are going to not take a cent from anyone. Nice. And it's actually going to be backed by my other companies. So it can be a standalone entity that's from day one, turnkey, profitable. But most importantly, nobody gets to say anything about anything that we teach.
Nice. Right. So good for you, brother. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Awesome. Where can people get that info if they're down in the Austin area, want to go to school there?
That's not going to come up. I'm not going to put it up for about another month.
Okay.
But all the updates would be on Tim Kennedy MMA Instagram initially, and then I'll drive everybody from there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service, man. Yeah. I really appreciate it. And I understand your father and your brother are both law enforcement officers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thanks for them. And thanks for your continued service with training these LEO guys. You know, they love it, and we love our LEO guys and our veterans. So really appreciate what you're doing. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. All you guys out there listening, thank you for keeping us safe. Seriously.
Right, hey, Tim, one last thing. Are you doing any, I know you're doing some LEO stuff, free LEO classes. You still doing any of that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I'm never going to turn, if you're a police officer that wants training, I'm not going to turn you away. You know, if your department can't pay for it, and like, I will do, shoot me an email. That was not disingenuous where I said, I will never not do something for a brother. Like, you just got to ask.
No, I'm with you, man. Cause I'm trying to get that stuff up and running. And, man, it's hard. So trying to get guys there, trying to get them the bullets, you know, it's some effort, but.
At the jiu-jitsu or at our school that's going to open next September, we're also going to have about 4,000 or 5,000 square feet of mat space. And if you're law enforcement here, you can attend for free up to blue belt. So that's about a year and a half of completely free, to attend, to learn how to grapple and fight.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
Good for you, pal.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, if you need anything, let us know, man. Appreciate you being on. And
I like you. Stay back there, brother.